Hello, wonderful listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Be A Boss Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Beatriz, entrepreneur and business coach for women of color, BIPOC, and queer entrepreneurs. In today's episode, we're diving into a story not a lot of us think about or perhaps even talk about. I'm joined by guest Delma Castaneda, who not only weathered the storm of a challenging divorce, but emerged as a support for others facing a similar experience. As the founder of Empowered Outlier, Delma has channeled her experiences into a life coaching business dedicated to supporting women on their journey through post-divorce and co-parenting, particularly when leaving toxic relationships. In today's conversation, Delma shares how her personal journey inspired her to help other women rediscover their self-worth, rebuild their identity, and master communication skills. I'm so happy to share her story and her journey starting a business where she helps other women thrive post-divorce. Come back to Instagram to share your thoughts, comments, and tag us by screenshotting your listening experience and leaving the podcast a review. I'd also like to remind you to come on over and book a call with me. I'd love to get to know you and help you along your own entrepreneurship journey. I'm so grateful for you. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome to the Be A Boss Coaching Podcast, a leading podcast where we redefine entrepreneurship through the entrepreneurship journeys of women of color, BIPOC, and queer entrepreneurs. I'm Beatriz Rivera, and as a social worker turned entrepreneur coach and podcast host, I share my own journey and story. I decided to start my own coaching business during the pandemic when I was helping my dad, a veteran business owner, to keep his 23-year-old business open. Since then, I've thrown myself into courses, coaching, podcasts, and books. However, I've learned that entrepreneurship is a journey, and we can all learn from each other's stories, mistakes, successes, and redefining the boundaries of what entrepreneurship can be. Subscribe to get new episodes every Monday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, Delma. Thank you so much for coming on to the Be A Boss Coaching Podcast. I want to start with sharing your name, who you are, and the name of your business and what your business does. And we'll take it from there.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Delma. I live in Southern California, specifically in the Inland Empire. Grew up in Orange County. So I'm pretty local to Southern California. The name of my business is Empowered Outlier. And I created my business. I'm a life coach, and I created this to help women with the post-divorce and co-parenting journey, specifically when you are leaving a toxic partner, because, you know, divorce in and of itself is a difficult journey. But when you leave a toxic individual, it's many more times more difficult. And so I help women recover their identity. I help women with their self-worth and their self-esteem. And we also work together in learning effective communication tools to be able to get what they need from the co-parenting relationship, and offer this in a group coaching format, which we'll be launching in late April.
How exciting. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm curious about the name Empowered Outlier. It sounds powerful. Can you tell me how you came up with that?
Yes. It's a little bit different, and I had a challenging time committing to it just because it's so different. It's not something that you typically hear. But the thing is, empowered is because that's what I want women to feel like when they reach out for help. I want them to feel empowered to take action to create the lives that they want. Outlier really speaks to me and to also to the women, but I think a lot more to like my life, how I've been an outlier in a lot of different areas. And outlier basically in statistics, when you collect data, usually a data forms a pattern on a line graph. And it, like, you could see the different data plots on a graph make a line. And the outlier usually is that one data set that's way far off from the rest of them. And so it's the oddity, is the thing that doesn't follow the line. And so that's true for me. I haven't followed like what society says I should be following. I haven't followed what statistics have said I should follow. And just to summarize really quick, I was a foster child. And so as a foster child, there are so many stats that say, we're not going to graduate from high school. We're not going to get to college. And if we do, we're not going to graduate from college. We're not going to be able to make as much money as people who have a traditional childhood. And I completely shattered all those stats. So for me, I'm an outlier and I want to empower people to also be outliers of their lives.
I like that. I like that visual. Thank you for sharing, because I think when we think about the word outlier, it sounds like this, there's this connotation of being outsider of other. And in this case, it's about not following that straight path. So I really love that. Thank you so much. I didn't know that. So I'm glad that I know we talked a little bit, you know, before recording. I know you shared your story with me and I thought it was really powerful. It just speaks to the mission that you have because you've done the same work. You've done the same thing in your story. So can you tell me how you decided to start your life coaching business and primarily focus on women who are perhaps experiencing that divorce and perhaps now parenting in their life? What made you decide that for your business?
Well, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs, it's like a really personal story that catapults us into taking action to make a change. And for me, that it's no different. I had been through a really toxic divorce. It took me 2.5 years to actually get it finalized because my ex kept dragging it out. And even 2 years post-divorce, I was still reeling in a lot of the emotional pain, emotional anger, frustration. And I wanted to know why I was still feeling that way, even though I had already been divorced and separated and all that. And he wasn't in my life anymore, except for the co-parenting part. So I found coaching by accident, scrolling on Facebook one day, and I joined this group coaching program. And in 90 days of doing a lot of personal development work, I was able to implement a lot of the tools that I learned, and it completely changed the way that I reacted to things because I was really reactionary. I was really emotionally imbalanced. And so that was creating a lot of problems for me personally and professionally. And once I saw the effects, the positive effects of that in my work at in my corporate job and also personally with my children and other relationships, I was like, you know, more women need to know about these tools because these are completely life-changing because I finally felt like I had my sanity again. I finally felt like I could control some things that were worth controlling and I could surrender control of things that I could not control, that were out of my reach, that were completely not up to me. And so that is a process that is very freeing. And so that is why I decided to go ahead and get certified as a life coach and create this program to help women navigate this post-divorce journey because it's such a complicated one and there's just so many layers to it to unpack and process.
Yeah. I think about it within the context of starting a business. I feel like that is different in the sense that we're expected to, instead of doing that, go straight into college and then earn a degree and then earn a job, then get married and have kids. And if we were to start a business or make that decision, it's so risky and it coincides with also with this idea that like we're not allowed or we're not, people don't expect that we go through things like divorce, right? I think when we go through experiences like that, it reminds us that we are adaptable, that we are resilient. And so I'm so happy that you're bringing your experience of going through that experience, bouncing back from it, and then using those same skills to build a business, which is like really incredible. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of layers here, right? Like all of the different things that we're expected to do. And as women, I think that there's another layer there as well. The question that's coming to me is, how has that journey, specifically adapting and finding tools and being able to bounce back, how do you think that has played out in your journey now as a new business owner? What are some ways that you have, what are some connections you've made for that?
That's an interesting question. I never thought about that. I think it's helped me most definitely with emotional balance, because when you jump into this entrepreneurship journey, it could be really nerve-wracking, right? It could send your nervous system haywire because it gets overwhelming. It's scary. You really don't know what you're doing, but you have to figure it out. So you have to have tools to help you with mindset. You need to have tools to help you process emotions and allow the fear to be there. And so I think all those tools that I learned to manage my emotions and to shift my mindset from that post-divorce recovery have been really instrumental in being able to launch my business and sustain it. Because, you know, the entrepreneurship journey is really challenging. It really tests your limits. And it could be, you can get to the point where you start asking yourself, is this really worth it? Do I really want to keep going? Am I really going to make it? And in those moments is where these tools really help.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm curious how, as you navigate through this new path, it's very unpredictable. And I'm curious if you ever felt, when you come across challenges like that, where you're not really sure how to get past or how to solve, do you ever experience that imposter syndrome? And if so, is that something that you learn to accept and dance with as more time passes with your business?
Yeah, imposter syndrome, I think, is one of those things that will come back and forth like a yo-yo. Sometimes you're good and other times it's just really in your face. And during those seasons, what I like to do is I like to review my notes from when I've coached my clients. And, you know, sometimes the words that your clients use in coaching sessions are so, so powerful that they almost want to make you cry, because they like validate for you the reason why you're there offering help. And so when I go through and I read my notes and I read the powerful things that they say and how the sessions have helped them, how they're able to sleep better, have better relationships with their children, see themselves in a different perspective where they actually have self-worth, self-confidence and things like that. It's so powerful. And it's like just a reminder, like, yes, I know what I'm doing. I'm offering value and it's impacting their lives in a positive way.
Yeah. Just looking back at everything that your clients say. Yeah. Especially, and customers and clients, like even if you have a product and you sell that, what are the reviews or things that people say? I think that that's such a powerful way to remind yourself that you're not just doing this for fun, even though yeah. that is might be part of it, right? But mm-hmm. there's those challenges too that come, and to have a tool, which is your clients, to remind you to keep moving forward. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the specific actions that you have taken in your business that you believe have brought you some sort of win, whether it's a new client or maybe you got recognized somewhere, or, you know, something that like kept motivating you to say, oh, yeah, this is working. What are some specific actions that you feel you have taken that have led you to those moments?
I think early on, when I first started coaching clients, I started with doing some free sessions at the very beginning. And two of those clients have been like my biggest fans, and they refer people to me all the time. And every time I run into them in social media, they remind me just how much of an impact our coaching sessions had on them. And so I think putting yourself out there is such a big one, because that's definitely what I was doing when I did that. And then also after, that's when I started actually charging for my services. And I started charging at a lower rate because I wanted to make things as accessible as possible. And it also went to validate how much it's needed, you know, and people are willing to pay for the service because they need the help. So that definitely was a big boost. And so I actually also contract coach for another organization, and that's been really helpful because it helps me coach clients not only on what I love coaching about, which is the post-divorce journey, but also just any general life situations.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, because I think that in the beginning, when you're trying to get that first paid client, definitely there's less pressure when you're providing services for clients that are willing to go along this journey with you. But the fact that they're referring, I just did a podcast about this, literally it came out today, about beta clients and bartering agreements, because I thought about how there's some relationships that you have with beta clients when you just start off. There's a different level of commitment. I'm not saying everybody's like this, but I think when there's money at stake, there's a different level of commitment. But the fact that you came so committed to, even if they were beta clients or like free clients, like you came so committed, and because of that, now those clients are referring other people because they weren't just trying to help you out, right? They're like, no, she's legit. I feel like that's how they're paying you back, is through the referrals that they're sending you. So it's not just trying to get your first client or first beta or bartering with someone, but coming to the sessions fully committed so that that can pay off long term.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's really important, like also like if anybody's starting out specifically with coaching, that it's important to be really clear what it is that you're offering. Like for me, I was really clear that I was offering these sessions for women going through divorce, preparing for divorce, or in the thick of it. And so just additional support for that. And that's who specifically I was able to help during that time.
I'm wondering, are you more of an introvert, Delma, or like an extrovert?
I am totally an introvert. And I think a lot of people don't realize that because, you know, I talk a lot with clients, but in my like everyday life, I am totally an introvert. I love being by myself. I love not talking to anybody.
Yeah, for sure. I totally get that. I think that I'm curious how, if you identify as being an introvert, how you manage marketing yourself or promoting yourself and talking about it. How do you manage that?
That has been my ongoing challenge, I will admit. That is like where I have to do the most work, because it feels so alien to me to have to do that. But how else am I going to reach women and tell them that I'm here, I'm open, I'm receiving, you know, clients, and I'm here to help them if I don't put myself out there, right? And so that's the whole reason why I decided to do this, is to help. And so I have to really continuously remind myself, look, if somebody's looking, they're not going to find me if I'm not out there. So, yeah.
For sure. And that trumps this idea or fear around going on camera or putting yourself on social media or whatever. But I'm glad that you said that, because that was one of my biggest challenges when I first started, is like, how do I even start making videos? And I just started with stories. And even that, I go back and I'm like, oh, like cringe, you know?
But sorry, I have like I'm at my mom's place and her dog is here.
No worries.
Okay. So I do want to talk about any particular investment. So I like to talk about this because I think investments in your business can be risky. And so I'm wondering how you make decisions about where you should invest or how you assess when an investment was right. How did you get comfortable with that, right? I think there's a lot of risk-averse people out there. And but would you consider yourself a risk-averse person? And second, how do you decide and figure out how you're going to invest in your business?
I think if you would have asked me this question maybe 2 years ago, I would not consider myself a risk-averse person. I'd be like, I'm risking it all, because that's definitely what catapulted me to leave my comfy corporate six-figure job to actually launch my coaching business. It was a huge risk. And a lot of people told me, don't do it. You're crazy. You know, you have a great job. Just stay there, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I wasn't happy. And at the end of the day, it's my life, right? And so whether it was the right decision or not, it's really nobody's business but my own. So I quit asking for validation and I just did what I felt was going to be the best thing for me and my kids. And I don't regret it at all. So I definitely took a lot of risks at the very beginning of launching my business. And I took a lot of risks by the investments that I made in like my training. I invested a couple thousand dollars in getting certified. And I actually took out a personal loan to be able to get the certification that I wanted, because for me, I felt that that was the best education that I could get to be equipped with the tools necessary to help the women that I want to help. And besides that, I was also investing in some of Amy Porterfield's courses, which at that time, because I had like a 1 year budget, I felt comfortable spending. And so now I weigh the risks way, way more, because now like my 1 year budget or my 1 year cushion has been completely depleted. It's been now almost 4 years. And so now it's like really, it's all my business income that I'm dealing with. And so now I really take the time to really think about what I'm going to say yes to and what I'm going to say no to. And I really like to sleep on things. So like if there's an offer and it has like a 24-hour thing, or an hour deadline, if my immediate thing is never yes anymore, my immediate thing is, you know what? I'm really just going to sit with it and see if this is really for me. So I think back then it was just like, oh, you're going to help me and it's going to help me do this and this and that. I'm in, but not anymore. And so how do I make decisions on what I invest? When I see different programs that I want to do, I literally write them on a whiteboard that I have here, and I write the amount and I make the mental note. Okay, this is the next program I'm going to invest in when I've saved up this much money. That's my next goal. And then when I've saved up that much money, I can reevaluate. Do I really need this? How is this going to impact my business? What exactly is it going to help me with? Is it something that I can get for free or for cheaper? Or can I barter with somebody for this? You know, because I love that you bring that up, because I think bartering as an entrepreneur is such an important skill to do. Because, you know, through Cafecito con Jefas, we've been able to connect with a lot of amazing entrepreneurs, and we're all there to help each other and learn from each other. And everybody's really open to teaching one another all the skills that they know. So I think bartering is another a very important thing to keep in mind. Instead of just investing with cash, we can help each other out.
Wow. That is a really good tip. I never thought about thinking and putting like a program or something that I want to invest in up on a wall and actually saving for it and then assessing at that time once I've saved for it, if I'm still in need of that. I think that is such a great tip, because I think when it comes to business, there will always be shiny things coming at you and like, dude, should I use that or should I work with that person or should I like invest in this whatever funnel or whatever? Like, there's things that you want to put into your business. And I love that tip of like, okay, this sounds really great. I'm going to put it on, save for it, and then reassess, because it's easy to get carried away with wanting to reach your goal faster or just want to scale or grow or whatever it is.
Yeah. You know, one more thing I want to just quickly add is like, we all have like this person that we look up to, right? Oh, like our entrepreneur role model, and everything that they offer, we want, because we want to be as successful as them. But that doesn't mean that we're going to have that same type of success or that we're going to get successful on the same timeline that they did, you know, because we're all different. And just because we get handed the roadmap, if we don't actually do all the steps, which I think is a lot of times what happens when we buy programs, we don't do all the steps. We just get overwhelmed and we just like, all right, that didn't work. Let's go on to the next thing. So it's the shiny object thing again. So I think we just have to be really mindful of the people that we follow and all the offers that they make, because we don't have to buy all their offers.
I'm curious if you've ever experienced any failures in your business or something where, you know, you really wish it could have gone better and or would have done differently. What is something that you've experienced in your business that was a failure, and then what did you learn from it?
Okay, so one, a really embarrassing one. So we're going to get really vulnerable here, is I was doing some webinars around co-parenting. And so I did, I took all the time to do like the all the slides and all the research, and I promoted it somewhat. And then I did the webinar, and I believe like I had like a good amount of people actually sign up for the webinar, but two or three just show up. And so I still went ahead and I recorded it and everything. But I feel as I was reflecting on it, I knew that I was really conservative on how much I showed up to offer it, to market it. And so I know that was like a direct impact to like how many people showed up or signed up. So that's definitely that one learning, that lesson that I had to learn, because again, that is my biggest challenge, is showing up and marketing myself.
Yeah. So what would you do differently as if you were to do this again?
I believe what I need to do differently is really connect more with my audience way before I actually launch another webinar. So making sure that I'm going to be showing up consistently. They know who exactly I am and exactly how I'm going to help them.
Yes. I think that's a common experience, because my experience is that there's a lot of fear around webinars. My perception around a webinar is a presentation, and a presentation in front of all these people that may show up and you may not even know. And that is really scary. It took me 2 years to do my first webinar. I had done one prior and with someone else. And it was just me, her, and like a really good friend of mine. But then when I decided to do my own, it took 2 years to do my very first webinar. And I was over preparing, but it came out great. But at the same time, I haven't done one ever since. And I don't know if you would agree if it's one of those paths or ways that you can practice showing up, practice talking about what you do, and essentially taking a risk, because you don't know, you know, you put all this work and you don't know how many people are going to show up. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about that.
About, you know, webinars. It's so interesting, because like in my corporate job, like I was the VP of operations, so I managed the whole organization and I did safety trainings and I did all these other things where I was the face and I was talking. But I think it just feels so different, because this is so personal, right? Because I am sharing part of who I am with people. And so I think that's where the challenge comes in. And also with the webinar, I think it's just also the technology is a little bit intimidating, because I know our kids are growing up with all this technology and it's so easy for them. And at the very beginning, when I started using Instagram, I felt like I was a dinosaur in this new age. Like I had no idea which buttons to push or anything. And it still kind of feels like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Instagram, I feel like it's always changing also. It's just their features and everything is always changing. But it's so funny you say that you felt like a dinosaur, because like we've been in it on it. I've been on that platform for a long time. But when you start to use it for business and like it you think about it in a different way, because you're like, oh crap, wait a minute, how do I make this engaging? But I totally agree. Okay, I do want to talk to you about any particular skills that you have that you think are essential to starting your own business. And what skills do you believe are both essential and that you need to continue to practice as you begin this journey, as you move along this journey?
That's a good question. And the first one that comes to my mind is discipline. Discipline, because we have so many ideas. We can take one thing, one idea in so many different directions. And it's really important to stay disciplined so that you can actually get something done. Because if you have your hand in multiple pots, it's like you're doing this today, doing that tomorrow, you really don't never get to the finish line with anything. You're just overwhelmed with so many tasks. The second thing, I think, is curiosity. Because I think curiosity leads you to discoveries, to trying things more than once and more than in one different way. And maybe the last one is being strategic. I think, and that's one of my biggest strengths, is being strategic. Because for me, I have to map things out. Like literally, like I'm a visual person. So I have to map things out when I'm going to do a project, when I'm teaching something. I always have to do a visual on everything that's going to happen. That way, for me, it's like a security blanket. Okay, this is how it's going to work, right? And sometimes when it doesn't work, that's where my curiosity comes in and helps me figure out what went wrong and what can I do to move forward.
So good. Yeah. Those are all incredible attributes to have in this journey. In my opinion, it's so unpredictable. So to shift any sort of when things go wrong or not the way you expected, instead of blaming yourself, actually being curious about what happened here. Like I want to know. And I think curiosity naturally excites us. It naturally gets you excited about figuring out what went wrong or what you could have done better. So I love it. Okay. I want to hold space for you to just talk a little bit more about your services. I know you talked a little bit about it in the beginning. What does working with you look like? And what values you hold and bring it to your work and coaching with clients? And then how can we support you and find out more about you?
Awesome. Thank you. So I currently do offer one-on-one coaching. And so what that looks like is a 12-week program. And in the 12-week program, we really break it up into like three different sections. The first one is working on your self-identity, self-recovery, self-worth. And then the next one, we focus on creating your dream life. What does that look like? Because a lot of times when we leave toxic relationships, we think that everything is bad. We're never going to be able to get in another relationship. We're never going to find another partner, or we're just damaged and we're just going to keep repeating the same pattern. So helping people create that dream life, even if it's on paper, and then, you know, doing like a vision board, it gives you hope to believe that it is possible. And so the last phase is taking action, a lot of action. And I think because you have to have the beliefs to be able to take action. And so that's why we work a lot on the beliefs in the second part. And so the last part is taking action, having dates with ourselves, doing different activities to build our self-esteem, doing different activities to put ourselves out there if that's what we want to do with friendships or, you know, relationships, whatever that looks like for everybody. And then in addition, because I also do contract coaching, I only have a limited number of one-on-one coaching opportunities on my calendar. I want to be able to serve as many people as possible, as many moms as possible. And so I am creating a six-week group coaching program where I will support women going through the post-divorce journey and also the co-parenting complications that happen when you have a toxic partner. Because just because you leave them doesn't mean you can completely alienate them from your life, especially when there's children. And so that's just a whole other level of re-traumatization and conflict that arises. So I really help women with communication skills. I help them identify the type of co-parenting relationship they have, because according to that type, then you can implement specific tools to be able to have effective communication so that you're not constantly losing your sanity when there's communication between parents, because they just want to keep sucking you in into arguments and taking you back into the past and reliving everything that you've already tried to leave behind. So that will be opening by the end of April. And you can find me at Empowered Outlier on IG, on TikTok, and LinkedIn, Delma Castaneda.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Delma. And thank you for sharing your skills and putting your work out into the world to be able to really help women going through something that can be, like you said, traumatizing. And still, I never thought about this specific fact around divorcing and then still having to keep them in your life due to co-parenting and when there's children involved. I'm sure that a lot of people experience that. And so the fact that you're providing that very specific support to women who have those types of experiences is amazing. So thank you for sharing your work with us and your journey. I know that we talked a little bit before we started recording, when we got to know more of each other. I am excited to be in community with you, get to know more about you. So please go follow Delma at Empowered Outlier on Instagram, TikTok. And I'm excited to see the launch of your program. So whatever I can do, send me the link. So if you are listening and this is something that you're like, wow, like this is exactly what I've been needing support in, go to the show notes, click the link. Is there a way to get on your email list, Delma, or something where people can find, like even before this starts, can just know what's going on?
Yes, they can contact me on my website, empoweredoutlier.com. They can send me a message there or they can DM me on Instagram.
Okay, so I'll have all of those links in the show notes. But thank you for sharing just what you do and also how you think about your business, how that unfolds in your life and like how that plays out. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Beatriz.
Thank you, Delma. Thank you for listening to the Be a Boss Coaching podcast. Remember to come on over to thebeabosscoaching.com and book your free discovery call, where you can learn more about coaching with me, what it takes to start a business and grow the skills while growing your business at the same time. I'm excited to learn more from you. Remember to sign up to our newsletter and come back every Monday and Friday for new episodes.